Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino on this Thursday morning. And we welcome you in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Of course, this is the show for Big Blue Nation. This is a show for the fans to call in as the Giants here at the facility, that's where we're broadcasting from, are preparing for Week 12. I can't believe it's already Week 12. It's ridiculous.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I feel like it was just yesterday that that first game was on Wednesday night. Anyway, so the Giants getting ready to take on the Dallas Cowboys. It is a Sunday 4:30 p.m. Eastern time game. And arguably one of the most, if not the most important game. Well, I mean, every game, each and every week, is the most important game. Because obviously where the Giants stand right now at 4-6 in the NFC East, they need to win. Is everything okay, Paul Dottino?
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Puzzled by your new photo.
Why?
The Astrodome, Houston, Texas.
It's Throwback Thursday,
Paul. Oh, I didn't get it.
Obviously not. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's try this again. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, 201-939-4513. So, Paul, yesterday players practiced. They talked to the media. Unfortunately, I guess the Adorama news of the day yesterday was the fact that, unfortunately, Hakeem Nicks did not practice.
Yeah, they're listing him with a groin issue. And I saw Hakeem on the side yesterday at practice. He was not inside the trainer's room. He was out watching practice. And then later on, he came in with a group of other receivers and Ryan Nassib following practice. They walked into the locker room a little bit late. And he did have some gear on, so it was my assumption he may have done some stuff on the side, but he did not participate, and therefore they had to list him on the injury report. I'm kind of getting the impression that on the basis that he was out there, that he's not that bad off, because if he was, they would have put him in the trainer's room, and they would never have let him outside to watch practice in the first place. So I suspect we will see Hakeem Nicks, if not today, tomorrow, and I would think he's going to play on Sunday.
In regard to practice, anything you saw that stands out to you from yesterday? Anything that you're excited about? Anything that you're concerned about as the Giants get ready to take on the Cowboys?
The only thing I will say, Anita, and it's really palatable to watch these guys with their energy level, their enthusiasm, their fun, their excitement. There is no question that the four-game winning streak has brightened the sun, if you would, around this team. And you could see it at practice. I mean, it's just obvious. Guys are a little bit more upbeat, a little more chatter, a little more energy about them. They feel better. And why shouldn't they? They've won four in a row, and they're back in this race. It's clear. I mean, if I were to give you one of those little Vine clips that they have on the internet of a practice from 6 weeks ago and a practice from today, just the way guys are walking around, you would see the difference.
Are there Vine clips of the Giants practicing?
I don't know if there are, but I mean, they
I'm
probably
just,
I'm are.
I'm really impressed that you even know what Vine is, let alone...
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, you didn't know what Throwback Thursday was, that you know what Vine is, let alone that there's video of Giants practicing on Vine. That's awesome if there is. You just don't know if there is. You just threw that out there.
I just threw it out there to make a point.
All right.
Obviously, you're going to hate on me all day today.
No, I'm not.
But that's okay.
I just think it's funny.
Because we're on television later on the Giants.com program, and I will have my revenge.
You will. You will. I have my fantasy football segment.
Yes, ma'am.
Of course, all things social media, considering it is Throwback Thursday, you can find us at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat for anything, comments, questions about the Giants. As you can see, Paul Dottino will be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and we'll share your tweets with us. So, as always, on Thursday, what do? If you do listen to the show regularly on Thursday, you know that we bring in Eric Kennedy. He's owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. Eric joins us, as I said, every Thursday to give us a good sense of how the fans are feeling about the upcoming game and where the Giants are at right now. So, Eric, first and foremost, Giants have won four straight. And I shared this with Paul yesterday. I did a hit for a TV network on Monday, and I was kind of taken back, you know, feeling good about the Giants, the fact that they've won four straight. And the guy who was hosting the program said to me, "Well, are the Giants contenders or pretenders, considering that three of the four games that they've played, they've gone up against not second string, but third string quarterbacks?" And I was like, wait a minute. And I kind of realized, yeah, you know what? Josh Freeman's a third string quarterback right now with the Minnesota Vikings. He's absolutely right. You know, what's the feel right now with the Giants fans? Are they still kind of on the fence if this team is a contender or pretender, or are they all in?
No, they're on the fence. I think there are those who have put the optimists have put their blind trust in this, and like the players and the coaches are saying, one game at a time, let's just keep the dream alive. And there are those who are, I think, are preparing themselves for the dream to come to a brutal end here. So you have the pessimists and the optimists. You're always going to have that in every season, and you're seeing that. I think the overriding sense or interest here is really to see what these Giants really are truly made of in the next few games. Obviously, everything depended on getting to these next two games that they're going to be playing against the Cowboys and the Redskins. And everyone's talking about the Cowboys game, but the Redskins game right after that, and really, you know, every single game they're going to play for the remainder of the season is going to be gigantic. But these next two games are huge. The fact that they got to 4-6, I think most Giants fans are proud of that fact. But you know, they realize that the competition level is going to increase. And they know they're going to be facing a quarterback that has given them problems at times in the past. I think there's also a very intense interest to see how good this defense really is now going against a better quarterback, a better passing game, because everyone's excited about Will Hill and John Beeson and the season Entrell Rolls playing, and the defensive line is starting to play better. And everyone recognizes the defense is playing better, but I think that there is this, there was an interesting discussion this week saying we'd actually like to see some tougher teams now because we want a stick to measure the Giants against, which I thought was interesting. A lot of times the fans have said before, I wish we were playing easier teams. Now there's kind of an interest to play tougher teams just to see where the Giants are at.
Eric, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of Dallas fans around this country, and there have always been a lot of Dallas fans in New York, and they seem to find a way to get a lot of tickets for the Giants home game against the Cowboys every year. I have to tell you, I've run into a lot of fans who have told me that earlier this season when the Giants were in the tank at 0-6, they were dumping their tickets. They were dumping them for the Packer game. They were dumping them for the Cowboys game. I'm curious right now as to the temperature that you're getting from the fans. Do we think we're going to see a healthy Dallas rooting interest in this stadium on Sunday?
I don't think there hasn't been really much discussion about that, but I think you're going to. I think, you know, there's been a few articles that they've been a little bit misleading because they've been the high price seats, but there's been some articles in the press this week that have been discussed on the website about Giants having dumped their tickets earlier in the year. But if you read those articles, they talk about the high end seats, the corporate seats, those type of things. So people, you know, getting rid of their tickets. So we'll see. There's always a big turnout. I mean, there was a big turnout of Packer fans because Packer fans travel well too.
Yeah, sure.
So
were.
We'll see. I mean, the if they want to come to the stadium, they'll come to the stadium. But the pressure is obviously going to be on, I think, really on Dallas, because and that's been a topic of discussion this week too. Who's facing more pressure here? I think given the state of the head coach of the Cowboys and where the Dallas started this season and how they've fallen back into the pack, I think there's a lot of pressure on the Cowboys and the Cowboy fans in this game. So it could get quite ugly for any Dallas fan in the stadium as well too. So we'll see.
Again, Eric Kennedy joining us, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Eric, as our Adorama News of the Day, unfortunately, Hakeem Nicks did not practice yesterday. We're anticipating him to practice today, but Paul and I'm not sure if you tuned into the show yesterday, but we received a lot of calls, and there's a lot of disappointed fans in regard to Hakeem Nicks. I'm just curious, in the message boards and whatnot, I'm just hoping that the fans that are talking about Hakeem Nicks realize, I mean, just as frustrated as they are, Hakeem Nicks is, multiply that times 10. What's the talk about Hakeem Nicks on your site?
You know, they've been down on Hakeem for a long time now, and it goes back to training camp, and it goes back to even before training camp in the off season when he wasn't showing up for the workouts. And I think there quickly was a sense that he was protecting himself because of his contract situation, because he has been somewhat injury prone. And whether right or wrong, the fans got the impression that he was basically taking care of himself. And the real quandary, the real question that fans really have now is, what is wrong with him? Because he had those physical issues last year. He had some off-season surgery, but we were given the impression that he was physically, he was fine coming into this season. Obviously, he injured his finger earlier in the year. There may be something else going on that we're not aware of. He had the groin issue that kept him out yesterday. But there seems to be a sense of what is going on with him. Is it mental? Is it physical? Is it a combination of both? And there's been a lot of discussion throughout the last month or so. This has been going on for weeks about how much of an effort should the Giants make in order to re-sign him in the offseason. How much is he going to want? How much should the Giants pay him? And I think that discussion is going to continue as long as this season continues. And I'm sure he's frustrated about it because he knows he's in a contract year too. And he's got to be thinking he's costing himself some money with his play this year. So we'll see. But there's a lot of frustration. I think everyone wants to see that breakout game from him. You saw Eli talk about it this week. You know, a lot of this will go away if he has a 3-touchdown game, that type of thing. This would be a great week for that to happen. Everyone just wants to see the old Hakeem, and the frustration's just building up.
I got one more for you, Eric. I'd like to know the fans at least backing off a little bit, some of the critics who absolutely hammered Eli during the 0-6 start. You know, clearly he has stabilized things during the 4-game winning streak. He hasn't been spectacular. No one's going to say that. But there's no doubt he's been much more efficient, much more effective. The line's been better. The running game's been better. The play calling has been tweaked. All of these things have served to help Eli's performance become more efficient. Have the fans started to back off, at least the critics of Eli?
Well, the site is interesting because you have a core group that believes Eli can do no wrong, and that comes from his two Super Bowl MVP seasons. So there's always this intense debate between the fans who say every interception he throws, it was never his fault. And on the other side are those fans who every single thing that goes wrong is Eli's fault. And now, of course, you've got people in between who recognize it's not black and white issue. There's shades of gray here. But you always have that intense debate between how much of a problem is it. You know, I think there's a recognition that Eli played better last week. He looked more comfortable in the pocket. He seemed to trust his offensive line a little bit more. But they also recognize that, you know, we're not too far removed from even a couple of games ago where there was a pick six. And there's the concern about, is he going to reach the level that he had attained in 2011 again, where he really carried this team for much of the season? Now, I don't think I don't think he has to do that all over again, because I think the defense is playing better now, and I think he's got actually a better running game now than he did back in 2011, when I think a lot of fans forget that they were dead last in rushing the football that season.
Exactly.
So he doesn't have to do as much, but this is a quarterback league. It's a passing league, and when they start playing the elite teams, and they start playing Detroit and then Seattle, and even this weekend when they're going to be playing the Cowboys, he's got to be the better quarterback on the field if they're going to win some of these games. So, to answer your question, I think the critics are always going to be there, and they're going to look for every single thing that goes wrong. They're going to blame him. And I saw this with Phil Sims. I saw this during the Phil Sims
Eric,
years.
You just need to remind them what Joe Prusarchik and Craig Morton were like, okay?
Oh, sure.
That's all you need to do.
Sure. Well, do you remember when remember the Phil haters hated him until he was gone, and then they were, so it'll be
and
the same thing with
Parcells
Eli.
Used to tell us all the time. We would sit and chat off the record during the course of the week, and he would always say, "Fellas, boy, they're all going to miss him when he's gone." And that was true. I mean, when Phil left, it took a long time to get somebody back here who was of that quality.
Yeah, the people forget they went to Dave Brown, Tommy Maddox,
No question.
Graham, that group. Yeah.
So. You know, Eric, it's pretty interesting because, hopefully, as you know, I host some fantasy shows in and around, and it's a big debate this week in regard to Eli Manning. Eli Manning is available on a number of waiver wires because of the number of picks that he's thrown this season. Folks have dropped him on fantasy football. Now this week he's going up against the Dallas Cowboys, who have given up the most fantasy football points each and every week to opposing quarterbacks. And believe it or not, Eli Manning is still available on, like, I'd say, I want to say 38% of most fantasy football wires. So, you know, take out the fan base. Just look at a national perspective in regard to Eli Manning and the season he's having and the fact that he is going up against a team that is, again, giving up the most fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks, and he's still out there available in the free agent world. It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
Well, I hate fantasy football, and I think it's warped the fan sense of, you know, seriously, I mean, this is the problem that we're running into, is fans look at the stats rather than the win-loss record. And I think that's one of the problem with the NFL right now is this, you know, it's a statistical-driven league because of the fantasy football angle.
Oh, absolutely.
It drives me nuts, because that's not what matters. It's the wins and the losses. I could care less if he throws 150 yards and one touchdown, but if they beat Dallas by a point, that's all I care.
I understand what you're saying, and to be honest with you, if you want to go out there and you want to win a football game, you want Eli Manning as your quarterback. If you want to go out there and you want to win a fantasy football matchup, you want Tony Romo on your fantasy football team. Yeah, so you're comparing. Folks don't realize that there is a big difference between fantasy football and reality football and the NFL.
Right. So, and if Eli's throwing for 350 yards, that might not be a good thing. So at the end of the day, I mean, they obviously want the balance there. So, I mean, Tony Romo's great for fantasy football, but when it gets to playoff time, that sort of fades very quickly. So,
Eric, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure having you on Thursdays.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive. Make sure you check out his site, become a member, and hang out in Big Blue Nation.
Sign me up.
For
sign
what?
Me up right now. Whatever fantasy league you can get me into that I can claim Eli Manning, because he's going to have a whopper every day. Sign me up.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. A boatload of calls. Let's start bringing them in. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and, of course, you. We kick it off in Staten Island with Steve. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul. How are you guys today?
Good morning. Hi. Good morning.
All right. Well, I tell you, you know what? Here's what I think with this game Sunday. I got to agree with you, Paul. I think Eli's going to really put up some numbers. You know, their defense, I trust it. You know, we waited a while to see this defense, and God bless guys like John Beeson, I'll tell you that now, for helping turn it around. And I really think that they're going to really stop that Dallas run game. And let's be honest, the Cowboys have no sec. They're garbage. They can give up like 500 yards a game. I'm not worried about that on that side of the ball. You know what? Here's the deal. Again, it's like I said last week, Eli, you know, you're going to throw for 300 yards and you got to, you know, be perfect. And listen, I would love to see finally these receivers and Eli be on the same page, because a lot of those interceptions are not his fault. That's just the bottom line.
Steve,
I don't care what any guy said, they're not.
Steve, my diagnostic says 7 of his picks were because of wrong routes.
Exactly.
Okay?
And you know what? Whether it's 7, whether it's, you know, listen, the numbers don't mean anything. It's about the production, and it's about guys being on the same page, okay? And there's no reason to think why they can't take this team and they could beat this team. What really concerns me on Dallas' side is Witten, as he just eats the Giants up every year. But you know what? Listen, you don't let a guy like Romo, and I said it back in week one, and I said it when they were going up against Cam Newton, it's a no-brainer. You don't let a guy like Romo get comfortable, plant, and hurl. Because you know it's going to be a gunfight. You know the guy's just going to be slinging that ball. So my question is, defensively, what do you see them doing to try and prevent Romo from doing what Romo does best and try and carve up a defense? And thank you for taking my call, guys. Again, you guys are great. Go Big Blue.
All right, Steve. I would recommend two things to Perry Fuel if I had the chance to talk to him this morning, and we will actually this afternoon. I would tell him, first of all, do some stunting with JPP. Don't bring him on a straight rush, because the Dallas offensive line is not very good, And quite frankly, when JPP is making his inside move, although he obviously didn't have to do anything to make that pick the other day, just had to stand up and get the ball. When he's able to stunt, he seems to be able to beat guys a lot quicker right now than when he's just off the edge. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but because of his back issue and because of the indecision that he has sometimes had in terms of breaking down that mental wall, which we think he has finally broken down, he seems to be better on stunts. So that's the first thing I would do. I would stunt JPP a lot, and I would make sure to try to get the pressure from the front of the pocket against Romo to get him off his spot. The second thing I would do is put Will Hill on Jason Witten, because I believe that Hill is the kind of guy who could take Witten out of a game. And I know people are going to say, how do you take Jason Witten out? He's a Hall of Famer. You can't do it. You can only contain him, much like Tony Gonzalez. I'm not so sure that Will Hill could not basically eliminate him out of the game. He is so quick. He is so strong. He's got cover skills. I think Jason Witten could have a very quiet game if Will Hill is in his shirt. But that's just my opinion.
Paul, in looking back on the game against the New Orleans Saints, the one thing that Dallas Cowboys were able to do is run the ball against the Saints.
Yeah. 89 yards for Murray.
Really, that was the only thing that they really were able to do.
It's a horrible game.
And the Giants, their pass defense has been solid all year long. And in the past few games, they have not allowed a 100-yard rusher. They haven't allowed a running back to score a rushing touchdown in six games. I mean, this is a defense. So knowing coming in, don't you believe that Romo's going to be forced to throw the ball?
I do. I absolutely do. And when you consider that he's got a number of second and third and fourth targets, you know, it's not just Witten, it's not just Bryant, it's obviously Williams, it is Miles Austin now coming back after missing 3 weeks because of a hamstring injury. I mean, there are a number of people, Beasley, there are a number of guys he can go to. And as you go down the Giants' depth chart, well, you see, Corey Webster limited, I don't know if he's going to be able to play. Okay, so that means more action for Tremaine McBride, who's fighting a little bit of a sore hip. It might mean Charles James has to get in there and play some snaps. I mean, Hosley's going to have to play some snaps. As you start going down to his third and fourth and fifth progressions, you know, you're looking at matchups that may or may not bode well for the Giants. I think they can hold their own in terms of the top matchups against Romo's top progressions. I'm not so sure they can hold up against those bottom progressions. Those are the ones that would concern me. And I think even Fiegels mentioned to you, Beasley, on your show yesterday on Big Blue Hits, and I think that's an excellent point, because it could be a guy like that who steps up and throws a dart at the Giants.
And last time the Giants did play the Dallas Cowboys, Miles Austin had really a heck of a game.
10 catches.
Yeah, and so now he's healthy, he's back, he's going to suit up, he's going to play on Sunday as well. Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, great show. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and then I'm going to have a question for Anita, if you don't mind, Paul.
Sure.
Listen, first of all, well, I have two questions. Number one, do you guys expect, do you know who may be our third running back? Will it be Cox or Hillis? That would be my first question. And I also just want to make a quick comment. Nita, I saw your interview last night with Jim Cornell. Great interview. And I just want to know, on a scale from 1 to 10, Anita, how hard was it for you to keep a straight face when Jim Cornell was talking about how it was a perfect fit and Eli's
I kid? Know! I nearly died! I couldn't believe he went there! And I didn't know what to say. Wait, I've got a better one for you. This is a true story. You might not know this about me, but I played women's tackle football for 5 years. So the first year, the owner of the Miami Fury, this was down in Miami, the owner of the Miami Fury was, you just threw me. Now I'm having a blonde moment. Used to play for the University of Miami, was a DB for the Minnesota Vikings for several years. It'll come to me. Anyway, so he was out there, and so our first few weeks of practice, he was out there, and I had to take a snap from center. And I'd never done that before. I'd never played tackle football with women before. And so I was having a hard time getting the snap exchange, and I kept on fumbling the ball.
Uh-oh.
And so JT Turner, sir, that was his name, JT Turner, played DB for the University of Miami, played DB for the Minnesota Vikings, was the owner of the Miami Fury, was out there a few, and he said, he called me Marks. He's like, Marks, get over here. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, what is the problem? He's like, out of all the girls out here, you grew up playing Pop Warner. You've played football your entire life. Why can't you get the snap exchange? And I said, with all due respect, sir, it's just a little different. She's a female, and I feel like I'm violating her a little bit, and it's uncomfortable for me. And he said, get up in there, and you get that snap exchange, and or you're not going to be our starting quarterback. So I go back, I call the play in the huddle, I go to the line of scrimmage, and again, I fumble the snap exchange. And so he called everybody over, and he said, from now on, for the rest of the year, you do not refer to Anita Marks as Marks or Anita. Her name is Chicken Little for the entire year. So the entire first year of my career, my teammates had to call me Chicken Little. True story.
Oh, how funny.
True story.
It was a great interview.
Wow.
I wasn't sure if he was being serious at first or not, but he kept his face safe.
I just
tell you,
you know what?
I really
it was
like the things
that is so funny
say.
Because I just I wanted to just I wasn't sure if I heard him correctly.
I heard him.
And I just wanted to move past it. But that is so funny that you realized he said that and that you called into the show to comment on
it. Oh, you should have seen your face.
Was it that obvious?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. But you did a great job. It was a great interview, guys. A great show. And, Paul, I saw your interview. It was excellent as well. Something that you asked Antoine, I found very profound, but it skipped my mind at the time. But I like what I'm hearing coming out of the camp, and you know, hopefully we can get this victory and move on to the next one. Great show, guys. I'll be listening up there.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You didn't even say anything to me about it.
I was going to wait till after we were done here.
For the folks that are listening in, they're kind of like, what are they talking about? Yesterday, I hosted Big Blue Hits Live. It's a show that we do every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Giants.com. You can watch on Giants.com. Phone lines are open. And on Wednesday, we always bring in a Giant to join me for the first two segments. And this week, it's starting center Jim Cordle. And so my question to him was, so Jim, what is it like being Eli Manning's center?
And he went there.
And what was his
He went there.
What was his response?
He said something to the effect like his hand is very comfortable there, whatever it was.
His hand fits.
Yeah. And I was like, are you serious?
And I died.
Oh, but you were such a pro.
But inside, I died.
Oh, and I know.
And I couldn't, like, I didn't think anybody.
You know what he did say, though? If I can get half a serious for a
that
second.
That is so funny.
You know what?
Oh,
the one thing that he said that I thought was really great, mm-hmm. and actually it's so relevant to this team being back in the race, when you talk to him about Coach Coughlin, and he said that, you know, after he gives one of his speeches, like hundreds and thousands of men would want to go out there and play for him and fight for him.
Well, no, actually,
whatever it was, I couldn't.
I know, Paul. I love you dearly, but you've got to. It's 2013, sweetheart. It's a movie called 300, and it's about gladiators.
Okay.
You have to watch the movie.
Oh.
Okay. He was referring to the movie, and he was saying after he hears Tom Coughlin's pregame speech,
right.
He feels he could be one of the 300.
Oh.
So he was
referring. So there was a reference. It wasn't just a regular statement.
So
that
but you are spot on in the analogy. If you watch the film, then you will understand. He will go to war. He will go to war for Tom Coughlin.
And I think that folks who questioned Tom even last year down the stretch, suggesting that he was too old or that he may have lost this team, we told folks that that was not the case. And anybody who may have even thought that this year, it is clearly not the case. Tom Coughlin has this team focused and ready to go and prepared each and every Sunday. There's no doubt in our minds about that.
I had a debate with somebody on my sports talk radio show that I host on the weekends on NBC Sports Radio. And I said, listen, there's a lot of great coaching going on right now. I mean, look at the difference with Sean Payton in the Saints this year. And granted, yes, you can say Rob Ryan coming in and changing that defense definitely has helped. But having Sean Payton back on that sideline for Drew Brees and the Saints is such a big difference. I mean, I'm using that as an example. You can go around the league. Look at Andy Reid and the job that he's doing in Kansas City. You can make a lot of very solid arguments. But if this Giants team comes back from 0-6 and makes it to the playoffs, Paul, I don't know how anyone could put together a better argument for Tom Coughlin being coach of the year. Just making it. I don't care if they're one and done in the first round of the playoffs. Just making it to the playoffs after starting the season 0-6, I don't know how you can make a better argument that Tom Coughlin would deserve coach of the year.
You're not going to get any fight for me on that one, Anita, for sure. Tom Coughlin has, as far as I'm concerned, as much respect, if not more, than anybody else in this league. I was telling my dad the other day when he asked me about this Dallas game, and it's typical of how we feel about Coach Coughlin. My dad said, all right, did you do your workup yet on the game? And I said, well, the first thing I did, I looked to coaching staffs. And as I feel almost each and every week, the Giants will always have an edge in that regard. That's just an automatic for me. The check mark goes on the Giants side almost every single time. The other team is lucky if they've got a neutral score in terms of the coach and the coaching staff, because that's about as best as they're going to do. You're not going to usually out-coach Tom Coughlin. He may have a bad game every once in a while. Everybody does. He's only human. But going into a game, no. I never see the Giants at a disadvantage. I see them with an advantage because of Tom Coughlin.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ra, calling in from the Bronx. Ra, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to see, you know, say really this is what's going to determine what's make us this game. Everybody know, I mean, our position, you know, it's just ironic now we're going against the rivals who, you know, regardless, I hate, even if I wasn't a Giants fan. But I just want to ask y'all, did y'all, you know, I kind of got, you know, felt as though leaving the Packers when I kind of was a little kind of disappointed about how we let, you know, the third-string quarterback get a couple shots down the field. And, I mean, you know, it was how he brung up our fifth corner, you know, how we, Tony Romo's best can probably roast probably our fifth corner. And, you know, the guys that y'all named, I never heard of in my life. So I want to know if y'all as concerned as I am. I'm a little, you know, shaky about this because I wasn't as pleased about the win coming off that was a third-string quarterback. So I'm going to hang up and let y'all comment.
Okay, you're referring to the two 30-plus-yard bombs that Tolzien threw against the Giants this past Sunday. Those are the two that probably bothered you the most. On one of them, McBride bit on a stop-and-go route, okay? And by the time the receiver was in his route, McBride had lost about 2 or 3 yards on him, and Tolzien threw that ball up there. It took about 5 years to come down. He lofted it up like a dying quail. It was right on the money, but it didn't have a lot of mustard on it. Now, had McBride not bit on the stop-and-go because he didn't think that Tolzien was going to try to throw it long, he would have been on the receiver, and I'm telling you, he would have made a play on the ball. So that's the first thing you have to understand. Second thing, on the Jones catch, that one went for 45 yards against Prince Amukamara. Prince got turned around, lost his balance for a second, and you know what? He got beat on that play too. But once again, a ball that hung up there quite a bit of time. Much like I told you guys about the Philadelphia Eagles the week before, they should have had 6 picks against Tolzien had their players made the proper play on the ball. So don't get too concerned about what happened there, because I really believe the Giants did not think much of Tolzien's arm strength, and I think they were trying to play stuff closer to the vest, and they weren't so much concerned with the deep things. And I think they got a little bit caught off guard and a little bit caught out of asleep, and they didn't concentrate perhaps as much on the deep ball, and he was able to get away with a couple of completions. It's going to happen. Now, the problem with Dallas is that when that happens with them, Romo's going to hit a guy 45 yards downfield in stride with some mustard, and it's going to go for a 65-yard touchdown. So they need to be much more concerned, much more aware, much more astute, and much sharper in making sure that they cover their routes properly. That's about all.
Let's continue with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Real quick, one for you. Jim Fossil, his coaching tree, two coaches that coach for him, not Jason Garrett, who was approached by Fossil of the Giants to be a coach. But I think Dallas offered him offensive coordinator, so he was able to leapfrog being a quarterback coach and go right to coordinator. But there's two coaches in the league that have Super Bowl appearances that coach for Fossil.
Okay, so what were you talking about Peyton and Fox?
Yeah,
that was a trivia question.
Yep.
Okay.
That was an easy one. But I had another normal question was John Connor. He's injured or he's out for this game?
No. Who told you he was out? He's a little bit nicked up. He had a hip injury and didn't practice yesterday. But I have no reason to believe it's serious.
Oh, good, because I wanted them to make a commitment to the run. And like you mentioned earlier in the season when Barrett Pasco was nicked up and they didn't even have a fullback that was healthy, you know, on the roster. Hynowski was on the roster but inactive. So now that's a big difference with the running game, the fullback, and also the running backs, big Brandon Jacobs and Hillis. Those guys are good at picking up blitzers. So I would like to see the two tight ends and offensive linemen once in a while come in. And also on defense, DeMontre Moore, I think he should come in, especially in the first half, in the third quarter, and play like a few snaps for Kiwi, a few snaps for Tuck, you know, the defensive end positions. And I'll leave you with this. My dad's not on today, but he said this is the first game the Giants are going to blow someone out. And Antrell Roll said something similar. He said that the reporter said, you know, you've only been playing third stringers, quarterbacks. Now it's a step up in class to go against Romo. And his response was, well, it's a step up for him to go against the Giants' defense. Yeah.
You like that attitude. Andrew, appreciate the phone call.
Thanks.
Just to share with you here, the Dallas Cowboys so far this season have given up 3,299 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. They also have allowed 198 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks, which is the most in the NFL. The Cowboys in the rushing attack have given up over 1,065 yards and 8 rushing touchdowns to running backs. Also, 624 receiving yards and 5 receiving touchdowns to running backs.
You know, what's interesting, when looking at their defense, there are a couple of numbers that Dallas lovers would like to stress, and they talk about, well, oh, you know, they've got a couple of dozen sacks. Well, they've only got 4 sacks over the last 3 games, so their pass rush really seems to have wilted. Either that or people are figuring out what they've been able to do now that Sean Lee is out and DeMarcus Ware is clearly a shell of himself. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I also want to tell you that George Selvey, who's been playing left defensive end opposite DeMarcus Ware in the standard set, now he's had a terrific year as a pass rusher with 6 sacks next to Hatcher, who's got 7. But how about this, Anita? Teams are running the ball for an average of 4.9 yards a carry against the Cowboys, and when running at Selvey, that is the Cowboys' left defensive end, and off of that edge, which would be the right side of the Giants' offense, teams are running for 6.5 yards a carry. That's a lot of yardage. It tells me that Mr. Selvey is concentrating too much on the quarterback and not doing a whole lot to get to the running back. And so if you're thinking about a power running game for the Giants, think of Andre Brown and Brandon Jacobs running right. That would be the place to go.
Let's continue with Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, Dan. Good show this morning. I just wanted to say, the last time I called in and said a game set up this well for the Giants, they lost, and that was the Chicago Bears game. But they did everything that we thought they would do, and it started with the poor running defense from the Bears. And at that time, we had a miserable run game. Right now, we have just been on an upward trajectory. We're going to dominate on the ground in this game. That is going to open up and expose the poor secondary that the Cowboys have. I don't care if they're getting anyone back at corner. They're not going to get pressure. We're going to run the game. We're going to run all over the Cowboys, and we're going to absolutely destroy them through the air. Cruz gets a touchdown. Randall gets a touchdown. I don't care who else is playing wide receiver. We are going to absolutely dismantle this Cowboys defense. And the reason I'm saying that is every week I've seen progress. I've seen progress on the offensive line that allows the tight end to get out there in space and work, and that opens up everything else. And Andre Brown is looking like a man that has 20/20 vision. He is absolutely seeing the holes and seeing the cutback lane, and he's taking his pick, and it is working absolutely fantastically for this Giants offense. I haven't been this excited about our offense all year. It's been an upward trajectory, and it all comes to a point this game. This is the game. This is the week. Every game's important, but this is it right now. All in. Let's go, Big Blue. Here we go.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. You know, Anita, I have to tell you, despite everything that I've seen from this defense over the last month, I agree with you. Romo was such a step up. The Cowboys have such a plethora of weapons. There are going to be points scored in this game. The Giants are
I love the over.
They're not
going to
shut this Cowboys team down.
What is that, by the
way? I have no idea.
I'll look it up. I know you don't have any idea.
I will tell you that I truly believe this is the week that the offense is going to have to pick up the defense some if the Giants are going to win this game. Because Eli is going to have to do what I think he's capable of doing. And those running backs are going to have to do what I believe they will do also to be able to pull this one out. Because as good as this defense has been, I do think they're going to have some tough shots here. I mean, the Cowboys have too many different options, too many different ways they can go to move the chains and to hit a big play. And let's not forget special teams, okay? Please let's not forget special teams, because this guy Dwayne Harris has blazing speed, okay? When we were in Dallas week one, I was down on the field pregame, and I watched this guy during pregame. He is faster than fast. And need I quote his stats to you? Second in the NFL in punt returns, 15.1 average. Second in the NFL in kickoff returns, 32.3 average. I'm going to tell you this. It would be criminal for the Giants if they do a good job on offense and a good job on defense and then blow this game on special teams. But would it surprise you? No. Wouldn't surprise me. They could lose this game on special teams. This kid is a killer.
Just heads up, Giants are favored by 2.5, and the over-under is 45. So I like the over.
There's going to be a lot of points. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I like the over. I'm surprised it's 45. I thought it would be a lot more than that. I don't think Vegas is really appreciating the Giants' offense. 201-939-4513 with you for the next 15 minutes, your opportunity to get into the show. The schedule for today, Paul, would you like to share?
Sure. By the way, I also want to mention, I believe, the Giants coat drive. Neely, the coat drive is on Sunday, is it not? We should definitely throw that out, too. If you folks have any lightly worn or unused coats and jackets and so forth that you can
lightly
bring.
Worn.
Isn't that what they usually say, lightly worn? Yeah, that's the phrase they use. Or hardly worn.
Okay.
Is that better? You like that better?
It's fine.
And if you can bring them to the stadium, and there'll be folks outside the gates to take them and, of course, distribute them to folks who need them during this very cold winter season. So that's certainly something that would be very much appreciated. Our schedule today, let's see, practice is going to end. It starts at around 12, ends at around 1:45. Then we get Coach Coughlin, players till about 2:30, and then coordinators as well. And I believe we're on Big Blue Hits today at 4:30 instead of 4 o'clock. We're going to be starting half hour later today if John Schmelk's message to me was correct.
And why is that?
Something about the studio needs to be used for something else until we go on the air. So I think we're going to be delayed a half hour today if I'm not mistaken. So folks, just keep checking Giants.com to find out the time of Big Blue Hits later on this afternoon.
Let's continue with our calls. Dominic calling in from PA. Dominic, welcome.
How you guys doing? Great having me on the show. I appreciate that. I enjoy the show. I just want to make really quick a score prediction. I think that the Giants are going to come out way on top. It may be 27-28 to 10. I think that Dallas will probably squeeze out one touchdown and maybe a field goal. But that's just my prediction. I think our defense is really going to limit their ability to score.
Well, look, you'd be foolish to think they're going to shut them out. You'd be foolish to think they're going to hold the Cowboys to less than 20 points. I mean, I just don't see it happening, especially with the rivalry that you're talking about. When you Giants and Cowboys, I mean, these teams are going to go at it. There are going to be some big plays. There are going to be some exciting plays. There are going to be a lot of crazy plays. And, you know, to just expect it to be a close-knit kind of, you know, tight-to-the-vest kind of game, I just don't see it. Now, that would favor the Giants, obviously, because they have a much better defense than Dallas. But I think they're going to get the Giants involved in a track meet. I really believe that. I'm sure Tom Coughlin would rather not. But I think Dallas is going to be able to bait them into a track meet. And that's why, you know, in that kind of game, to be perfectly frank with you, it does enhance the Cowboys' chances.
Okay? All right. We'll see. Well, I'll call in next week. I'm calling at 28-10, maybe 27-10.
We'll be here. And believe me, Tom Coughlin would do cartwheels and maybe even a Victor Cruz salsa if they held the Cowboys to 10 points.
I don't quite see that happening, Paul, but we can always hope for. Real quick.
You're killing me today. You know that. You're absolutely killing me today.
Really quick. Tarn Designs sent us a message on Twitter. Can you discuss John Beeson's overall impact? Also wants to know if you're wearing the white pants today. And a good friend of mine who's absolutely brilliant and redesigned my website, Gina, says hi.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And
So this guy, Tom, must work with Gina.
Okay.
I'm assuming Tarn Designs. That's the name of the...
Okay.
So, number one, no, Paul's not wearing white pants. Number two, I love you, Gina, if you're listening. And number three... Tom wants you to discuss John Beeson's overall impact. Also, getting some tweets in regard to the matchup with him and possibly Jason Witten. I know you're anticipating Will Hill, or you like to see the Will Hill matchup against Witten. But what about John Beeson?
Well, the things that John Beeson bring to this team, besides all the stuff we've already talked about for the past month, let's just talk schematically for a second what he brings to this team. He brings the ability to fill the A gap or the B gap in a heartbeat because of his speed, his quickness, and his range. So that when he commits to a rushing fit, he can make an adjustment. A lot of linebackers who are tad too slow can't do that. So he's got that ability. He's also got the innate ability to feel and read the offense and understand and predict where that play is going to go a lot of times before it does, because he's such a good study guy. Chase Blackburn was that way too, by the way. He just didn't have the quickness that Beeson has. The other thing that Beeson has, which is really, really, really exceptional, is he's got horizontal range. And for a middle linebacker these days, that's pretty rare. Because what happens is you got all your sub packages, you got your guys on the outside, you got your safeties coming in and playing linebacker, and the guys in the middle, they basically say, okay, look, you just worry about this little box, and you don't have to necessarily go sideline to sideline anymore, because we've got all these other athletes who can get on the field and the sub packages and the tricky things we're going to do, and we'll let them worry about that. You just deal with this little box. Well, that's not what happens with John Beeson. John Beeson plays the entire field. And that is a luxury these days in the National Football League. He's a three-down middle linebacker who can play sideline to sideline. That's really, above everything else that we've said about him, that's where his value really shows up. Did I do okay?
Yeah, you did great. Are you surprised that the Carolina Panthers let him go?
I'll tell you what I was told. I did some investigation in the last week about John Beeson.
Of course you did.
Here's what I was told. They thought that he was healthy. They thought that his knee was okay. But that for salary cap reasons and age reasons, they really wanted to hand the baton at middle linebacker to Kuechly, who is one of the young, up-and-coming superstar linebackers in this league. He's a very, very good player. It was time to pass the baton. So they tried to move Beeson to the outside, and what they found was he is not an outside linebacker. He truly is a middle linebacker in a 4-3 defense. That's what he is built to do. That's his mentality. That's where his skill set really shows up. And as a result, he didn't fit very well on the outside. So rather than have him around, okay, they figured, let's get the draft pick for him because we're not going to have him pass this season anyway. Kuechly owns the middle linebacker position. We're just going to let him grow into that spot, become the leader of our defense, and we're going to have to turn the page. And so that is why when Beeson got demoted behind Chase Blackburn on the outside in Carolina, because he was not a good fit, they said, hey, rather than cause any problems here, any chemistry issues, not that Beeson's a bad guy, but because they did not want to have any divisions amongst the other players as to who was truly going to be running that defense. They wanted Kuechly to be the guy. They figured, hey, it's best if we just ship Beeson out of here. And he himself said, when Rivera called him in, Coach Rivera said, hey, I got to tell you something. We're going to trade you, but here, we're trading you to a team that really needs you, and you're going to play, and you're going to do real well for them. This really was, in retrospect, a great move for both teams because the Panthers have moved on and established a new leader on their defense, and the Giants found a guy who fit what they needed to a T. It's one of those very rare trades that actually works well for both. Did I do well on that?
Yeah, why do you need a grade for me today? For
well, because you're hating on me since you came in.
I am not. How am I hating on you?
Never mind.
You don't know Throwback Thursday. You've never seen the movie 300. I'm not hating on you.
Okay.
I just would like for you to kind of get more in the now. That's all. I mean, if I hated on you, I wouldn't care.
I'm too busy watching tape.
All right. So we have 5 minutes left on the show. Tell us, with all the tape that you've stayed up until 3:30 in the morning watching, give us, because this is our last opportunity to host the show. Of course, we have John Schmelk and Lance Meadow hosting tomorrow. So make sure you tune into this show, 9:30 a.m. tomorrow with Lance and John. Give us your keys to the game then. With all the film and all the tape that you've analyzed so far this week, give us your keys to the game, Paul.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, offensively, the Giants must remain balanced and patient. I think if they start to scratch that itch about looking at the horrible Dallas secondary and just start swinging it and throwing it deep, that plays into Dallas's hands. So my first key is offensively, make sure you remain balanced and make sure you remain patient and take advantage of those short and medium range routes that the Giants have used throughout the course of this winning streak. That's the first thing that I would do. Second thing I would do, flop it to the other side of the ball. Defensively, I would be very, very, very careful about sending blitz packages against this Cowboys defense, because I do think that with the plethora of weapons they can use on the outside, getting some isolated man-to-man matchups, you're encouraging and giving Romo an opportunity to make some big plays. So I would probably just play a little bit more conservative, go with the four-man standard rush. I think they've been doing better lately, and they can probably get some heat on Romo with four. I would play more coverage than I would blitz defensively. That's the other thing that I would do. And then the third key is clearly, when talking about special teams, you know what? I don't care what Steve Weatherford has to do. I don't care how windy it is, how sunny it is, how rainy it is. Don't let Mr. Harris touch the ball. Dwayne Harris is not to touch the ball on Sunday. Josh Brown, kick it through the end zone. Steve Weatherford, kick it out of bounds. This guy is a killer, 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 killer. Don't let him touch the ball. How about that?
That's pretty strong.
And I bet you Tom Coughlin has been 10 times as strong in explaining that to Mr. Weatherford.
All right. So, again, we thank you so much for tuning in today. And thank you so much for all your phone calls and your participation. As I said, back tomorrow at the same time, 9:30 a.m., Big Blue Hits Live with John Schmelk and Lance Meadow. Later on today, 4 o'clock Eastern time, or 4:30, I'm sorry, 4:30 Eastern time will be Big Blue Hits Live. Paul Dottino, myself, and is Roman back today?
I believe he is.
Okay. And Roman Oban. So make sure you tune into that. You can watch that on Giants.com. And also, phone lines are open for that show as well. You're more than welcome to call in. And it's an interactive show and be a part of that show. Same phone number, 201-939-4513. Hope everybody enjoys and has a great Thursday. And we'll see you soon here on Giants.com.